Chapter 22. On Saturday morning, Chris went apartment hunting. Ron stayed at Rahway writing and playing guitar in between joints that he went into Chris's room to smoke. It was late in the morning when Warren showed up along with Laureen. Ron would sit on the floor with his guitar and several piles of papers in front of him. Warren came to the back door and found it locked. When Ron heard the loud knocking, he froze. He went to the door and peered through the glass into Warren's angry face. "Why's the door locked?" said Warren in a half-shouted drawl. "We've been waiting for the cops to come by and raid the place," said Ron. After he took the latch off, he saw Laureen standing in back of Warren and sneered at her as she walked into the room with her head down and her eyes averted from his gaze. "Do you know where Chris is?" asked Warren. "He's in New York. When's he coming back?" "After he's found an apartment," said Ron. Warren and Laureen stared at each other, and what seemed to be a concerned look passed between them. "Why's he doing that?" "You'll have to ask him, Warren. The landlord made it pretty clear that he had to get out. Actually, that all of us, except for you two, had to get out." "That wasn't necessary. He should have talked to me first. I would have been able to work something out for him." Warren paused with his next thought. "When are you leaving?" "I'll be out by the end of the month, right in line with your proclamation." "That'll be fine." Warren ignored the sarcastic tone and took his bag towards his room. Laureen watched him go, feeling abandoned. She looked over at Ron, then with a nervous suddenness said, "I didn't know he was going to call the landlord and tell him about the pot." Ron glared at her. She continued, "After what you did to me, how could you expect me to come back here and stay with the two of you?" "I didn't do anything that caused you more than a little bit of inconvenience. You might as well just have called the cops yourself, Snake. That nickname is cruel. Maybe. But it seems appropriate. Let me guess. You'll be moving in here with Warren after he's finished throwing Chris and me out, right?" "That's not really any of your business," said Laureen. She turned and walked across the parlor into Warren's room. Ron went back to his pad. When he heard the back door open again, he was hoping that it was the police. But it was Chris and the bird. "Warren and Laureen are here," said Ron. "Are they?" said Chris. "Let's go back into my room." Ron sat on the bed and watched Bird take off her jeans and sweatshirt. She bent over from the waist to pick up her discarded clothes in front of the two guys and stayed there for an extra second. Ron and Chris stared at her ass and then exchanged a smile. Chris said, "Would you make Ron and I some coffee?" Lynette chirped and said, "The bird makes it strong. It's the way you like it." "Sure," said Chris. They watched her ass twitch its way out of the room. Chris turned and said, "I found a place on the Lower East Side, a fourth floor walk-up. It's cheap. The neighborhood is pretty bad, but I think I'll be safe there. I'm going to get a truck and the guys from the band to help us move things out of here tomorrow." There was a knock on the connecting door to Warren's room. Chris didn't answer. Warren knocked again and then tried to open the door and found it latched from Chris's side. "Open the door, Chris." Chris still didn't move, and finally Ron said, "I'll get it. Is that okay?" Chris shrugged and Ron opened the door. "I need to talk to you alone," said Warren. "Fuck the alone shit, Warren. What do you want?" "We need to have some privacy first," said Warren. Chris didn't answer at first. Ron sat there. Finally, Chris said, "What do you want, Sheriff?" "I want to explain to you that you don't have to get out of the house. That was never part of what I was trying to do." "You called the fucking cops on me, and now you've got the balls to stand there and say that you weren't trying to get rid of me? What kind of an asshole are you, Warren?" "What I want to see happen is for you to quit the drugs. If you stop taking them altogether, you can stay here with Lorene and me for as long as you like, and it doesn't have to cost you anything." "Oh, you're willing to support me, huh?" "That's right. I can't stand living with either of you now, and I'm paying for just about everything. Imagine how good it would be if I was living off you, Sheriff." "I just want you to know that the house isn't being closed off to you. Is that supposed to make you feel better about being a jerk-off, Warren?" Chris stared full into his face. "This was supposed to be my home, too. You got on your sanctimonious horse and rode in here like you were the keeper of the flame or something. Now it's time to do what I want. And what I want is for you to get the fuck out of here and stay the fuck out until I've had a chance to leave." "Where are you going?" "I try not to tell assholes how they can find me. I'll be gone before the end of the week, and then I don't want to know you or anything about you." "I think you're overreacting here." "I don't give a shit what you think, Warren. I want you to know that you can take anything that you need from the house." "I intend to." "Would you mind if Lorene slept here for the next few nights? I'm going to be in the city, and there isn't going to be room for her in there too. "That's her problem. I don't want her here. I don't need any more spies around me either. Now you get the fuck out. Well, I can still control the urge to punch you in the mouth. You can have the house for the next 5 days. Then I'll be back." Chris didn't answer. Warren went back into his room and closed the door. Lorene was sitting on Warren's bed with tears in her eyes. Warren said, "We'll give him a few days to get his things together. There wasn't any way to salvage anything else out of this right now." On Monday and Tuesday, Ron and the band guys emptied the Rahway furniture into two rented trucks and brought the stuff over to Chris's parents' garage. Chris took every piece of furniture in the house, with the exception of what Warren had in his room and the round oak table in the kitchen, which was left minus the chairs that were distributed around it. After he and Ron finished with the last load, they went to his room and smoked two or three joints, while Chris burnt some old papers and notebooks in the fireplace. "It's just Warren's house now," said Chris. "Thanks for helping me with everything. I'll give you a call at your aunt's after I get a phone." Then they quietly got into their cars and left a very dark and empty house. The ghosts make more noise in the cold wind that blows through these rooms, trying to latch on to a soul. The bird disappeared as suddenly as she had arrived. She told Chris that she would be in touch with him and borrowed his car to take her painting supplies to an undisclosed location. All that she left was the half-painted mural of a group of people sitting around a table, laughing and drinking wine. She had never been there when the place was like that. She had only heard the stories, but what she left and the table were the only hints that it had ever been more than it was at that moment. After Chris left, Ron circled back to the house and crawled in through a window that he'd left open. The place felt sad and lonely. He could have sworn that the walls were crying out for them to come back. He closed his eyes and pictured Robin. Rahway was gone, and she was gone, and neither one of them was coming back. He was empty.